It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It's live and local now for a Wednesday. I know it feels like Monday for a lot of you that were like me and you took the early part of the week off. I know it feels like a Monday. And if you were off last week as well, same thing. My guess is you're just now getting back to work. Welcome back to work. My name is Kevin Wall, the program live and local now. Nothing much has changed, I think. I'm sitting on the same side of the studio, and Jameson's on the other side of the glass. And all things considered, we are back. Unbelievable, but we are back. On Wednesday, of course, you know that we always have Chuck Muth on, the president of Citizen Outreach, and Chuck joins us this morning. Chuck, Happy New Year. Great to be back in the saddle, and great to be back in the saddle with you.
Well, thank you, Kevin, and Happy New Year to you, too.
Did anything happen? The government still closed down, right?
That's what I hear. I haven't noticed anything bad about the government being closed down at this point. I'd say keep it closed.
I got to tell you, I've heard from more people, none of them, of course, government workers that are impacted at all, but most people I talk to say, life's gone on. Thank you.
Yeah, and you know, what's interesting here is that the people who are most directly affected are government workers, and there's two things about it. One, The news reports state that only non-essential government workers aren't working, which leads to the obvious question. If they're non-essential, why do we have them on the payroll in the first place?
Good point.
It's very obvious that, you know, Democrats, including Schumer and Pelosi and Obama himself, I mean, they've all voiced support for a wall in the past. And so, you know, it's... You can't take the blame off of their shoulders. You know, this is the only thing that's keeping the government closed is their support for open borders. And so I just hope these government workers put the burden on the backs of the people who are directly responsible, which are the Democrats in Congress who are keeping the government closed. It's their fault, not Trump's.
Let me just ask you, there's a meeting scheduled for 3 o'clock Eastern, noon Pacific, at the White House, in of all places, the Situation Room, the most secret of the secret. And it's just House and Senate leadership, including the new majority leadership in the House, Nancy Pelosi. And I'm curious if anything, you think anything's going to come of this?
Oh, yes, absolutely. What I find funny about this, though, is that the news stories this morning that came out are that Pelosi's going to take over the House again. And, you know, top on her agenda is more transparency in government. And yet on the same first day in action, they're going to have this secret meeting to try to resolve this situation rather than doing it out in public, which is what the president did right before Christmas, where he had Schumer and Pelosi, you know, out in public in front of the cameras so the media could cover it. And that showed Pelosi and Schumer, I think, in a bad light. So now they want to go back to doing business behind closed doors.
Do you think anything will get done anytime soon? I mean, the president, just in the last couple of days, has backed away from 5%, for $5 billion for the border wall. Do you think anything will get done? Will there be any compromise on the Democrats' part? So far, it's been crickets.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously the issue will get resolved one way or the other eventually, and so the whole question is when will it happen. Now, the president realizes and understands this whole nature of negotiation, and nothing will get done until they reach the end of the clock. That's why you have to have these deadlines. Like for shutting down the government, it's a matter of, okay, it's going to close at midnight on Friday, and then at 11:59 p.m. on Friday, they come to some kind of solution. So once a solid deadline is put into place where you have to do something, that's when you'll see real movement. Right now, it's all just positioning.
I want to take you back because you've been you've got really some great ideas as to what went wrong November 6th, the midterm elections. And I think you had seven different ways that we can take things back and what went wrong, that kind of thing. Can you roll through some of these things? Because I think a lot of people, because it came out incrementally, may have missed it in Muth's Truths. Can you talk a little bit about some of the ways you think we came up short November 6th? And again, in so many of these races, we thought we had it won, you know, as we did nationally on election night, and then found out subsequently, oh, we didn't win. Can you talk a little bit about what went wrong in this state and maybe if there are some suggestions going forward?
Yeah, it's a seven-part series, and I'm through four, and I'll probably do five today or tomorrow. But to start, there's a couple of things just structurally that the Republican Party has done wrong, and they put the wrong focus on things. Number one was voter registration. And the fact is, the problem isn't that we don't have enough Republicans registered in the state. It's that not enough Republicans showed up at the polls to vote. And even many of the ones who did show up to vote didn't vote for the Republican candidate. And that, you know, has to do with a lot of different things on, you know, why somebody's a bad candidate. Secondly, they keep putting this tremendous focus on door-to-door, you know, walking door-to-door, which in this modern day and age is just the wrong thing to focus on. You know, mass media, especially digital media, you know, people are on Facebook, they're on Twitter, and they just happen to see these political ads there now, not even so much television, Kevin, but, you know, radio and digital advertising are really a bigger key to how you market to the general public. And then you also need to start focusing more on the independent voter, the non-philosophical voter. You know, they make up in any given election about 20% of the electorate, but that 20% is who decides at the last minute who they're going to vote for, and their vote is what usually determines who wins and loses on election day. So it's just structurally the focus that the Republican Party is putting on certain aspects of an election. They just need to change that.
Again, Chuck Muth joining us, the president of Citizen Outreach. His Muth's Truths, going through a seven-part series on what went wrong. He is four columns in. And maybe I'm misreading this thing, but it seems as if you are somewhat critical of at least some of the political consultants out there.
Yeah, this is a really, really big problem in Nevada. Is that you've got political consultants out there who have a little bit of experience in politics talking to candidates who have zero experience in politics. And so the candidate thinks that this consultant actually knows what they're talking about and relies on them and follows their advice in the campaign. And the mistake that these political consultants make over and over, year after year, is they think that they're running a political campaign. And they're not. They're running a marketing campaign. This is all about persuading voters to vote for you. Regardless of who the candidate is or what the issue is, it's all about marketing and how you sell you know, different constituencies, different segments of the electorate on a different message. And our political consulting class in this state is really, really weak, by and large, overall. And unfortunately, a lot of them are very high-priced consultants who have worked with some of the, you know, top ballot names like Senator Dean Heller. I mean, his communication staff was absolutely the pits. I mean, it was totally amateur hour, their entire campaign communications operation. And this is a campaign that spent millions upon millions and millions of dollars to do it all wrong. So if they can't even get it right for a U.S. Senate race, you can imagine how bad a lot of the candidates are for local races and state legislative races.
So the fact that I know one of the things I've heard, and in fact, Dean Heller, I think, admitted in the final weeks of the campaign, he was being outspent 4-1. Is it a matter of money, or is it a matter of the people crafting the message?
It's a matter of the people crafting the message. There's plenty of races where big money has lost to an upstart campaign that simply used their money better and had a better message strategy. So it's not the money. Just because someone's been outspent 4-1 doesn't mean you can't win an election. That's just a consultant trying to find an excuse for why they failed. That's all that is. It's not the money in cases like that.
And I go back to the primary race where Danny Tarkanian beat Michael Roberson, and Roberson outspent him.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
You know, 4-1, 5-1, 6-1, whatever it was incredible. And Danny ended up winning that primary race.
Yeah, you're right. I was thinking the exact same example. That's probably the best one in recent memory 2 years ago. Yeah, he was outspent by millions and millions and millions of dollars, but it didn't matter. Michael Roberson engineered, through the state Senate, as the Senate Majority Leader, the largest tax hike in Nevada's history. And no matter how much money you have, you can't make that go away. So Danny didn't need to match him dollar for dollar. He just needed to raise enough money to get that message out, and that message carried the day with conservative Republican primary voters. So, it's not a factor of money in cases like that. It's a factor of having bright message.
More to come. Joining us, Chuck Muth, the president of Citizen Outreach. We'll talk more about at least four of his points on what went wrong in the midterms here in Nevada, how we go about reclaiming our state. We'll do that and more coming up live and local now. Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas, with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and 5 daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
Why do politics matter? Well, because ideas matter. I am Michael Schaus, Communications Director for Nevada Policy, and Nevada Policy, we're focused on those ideas, not politics. Politics are about parties, lawmakers, it's about grandstanding. Ideas, however, are about empowering people and finding solutions. After all, to a parent, an idea such as school choice is not political, it's personal. To taxpayers, the idea of government transparency is not political, it's about ensuring confidence in our public institutions. Ideas like these are what will make a difference in Nevada, regardless of what political parties are running games in Carson City. We won't be able to stop every bad policy dreamt up by the newly elected legislature, nor will we be able to will into existence all the good ones, but we can make sure that the ideas that actually matter to Nevadans have someone fighting for them. Find out what we're fighting for at Nevada Policy. Visit NevadaPolicy.org today and sign up to stay informed during next year's legislative session. Let's make sure the right ideas have a voice when lawmakers meet in 2019. Visit NevadaPolicy.org.
Hello, this is Brent Jones again, owner of Real Water and Real MMA. As a Nevada businessman, I understand how difficult it can be to stay in business and remain profitable. Taxation, excessive regulation, employment issues, lawsuits, competition, increases in supply cost, the list goes on. That is why a group of concerned business owners formed the Real Chamber of Commerce. We need a pro-business environment in our great state. Unfortunately, taxes have increased dramatically this past year, and regulation just keeps increasing, making it harder and harder to make ends meet. We must take Nevada back. The Real Chamber will work hard on your behalf to fight against additional tax increases and more regulation. You need a chamber that is truly on your side. That is the Real Chamber of Commerce. Please, join Real Water and other concerned business owners. Get involved and help take Nevada back. For more information, go to realchamberofcommerce.com. That's realchamberofcommerce.com or call 702-521-0632.
Have you ever dreamed of joining the exciting world of broadcasting? I'm talking about 790 Talk Now, talk that rocks. Right now, 790 Talk Now is expanding. We're seeking motivated self-starters with radio production experience and an interest in producing compelling talk radio shows like Live and Local Now and Wayne Allen Root's War Now. These are paid positions for real money. If you want to be part of our 790 Talk Now team, call Debbie at 760-851-9447. That's 760-851-9447. 851-9447.
Roberto's Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like.
In Las Vegas, no one needs to remind you about Wednesdays at Roberto's Taco Shop. Indeed, it's a $1.29 chicken taco day. Ah, grande, juicy, crunchy taco. Loaded with hot, savory chicken, crispy lettuce, and mounds of cheese. All for just $1.29 each.
Roberto's Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like.
Oh, yeah. I like what they've done to my Wednesdays.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too. It's Live and Local Now. Democrats won all but one constitutional office. They came within 24 votes of having a supermajority in both the Senate and the Assembly. And a lot of people, myself included, have criticized the candidates. That there were candidates who were out there running for public office who just weren't very good at running for office. Chuck Muth joining us, the president of Citizen Outreach and the author of Muth's Truths. And he's going through a seven-part series. He's four parts through right now. And we're talking about what went wrong and how we win back the Assembly and the State Senate off in the distance. And these constitutional offices. I want to ask you about the candidates, though, because I think there were a lot of people that really struggled to hold their nose and vote for Dean Heller. They just didn't like Dean Heller. They found him to be a turncoat. He was an ever-Trumper. He was for the expansion of Medicaid across our state. He voted against the repeal and replace of Obamacare. And there were just a lot of people that just could not hold their nose. The anti-Dean Heller vote that was out there, did they just not go to the polls, or did they vote for somebody else?
Well, I know they're not going to want to hear this, but you know, I predicted this a year before the general election, that there were a lot of people who remember that Dean Heller almost gave us Hillary Clinton as president of the United States by being a never-Trumper. And you know that you couldn't do anything against him in 2016 because he wasn't on the ballot in 2016. And I think his campaign thought that, 2 years is a lot of time that'll go by and voters have short memories and they'll just forget. And the truth is, they didn't forget. I mean, Dean Heller himself said in 2016 that he was 100% against Hillary and 99% against Trump, and that he had the none of the above option in Nevada that he might exercise. And a lot of voters in 2018 pulled a Heller. They voted for none of the above, or there were actually at least two other candidates on the ballot from the Libertarian Party and the Independent American Party who are generally conservative. They're certainly, you know, limited government candidates, and it was a protest vote. A lot of Republicans who did turn out to vote simply did not vote for Dean Heller, and it hurt other candidates up and down the ballot because he was at the top of the ballot, and they said, okay, well, if I'm not going to vote for Dean, I guess, you know, I'll look at the lieutenant governor's race where the gentleman you and I talked about a little bit earlier, Michael Roberson, was running for lieutenant governor, and they didn't vote for him either. They voted for someone else. And in some extreme cases, they may have even voted for the Democrats just to keep the Republican out of office.
Unbelievable that we're talking about this, but it did happen. It's like a bad dream that you say, it didn't happen. And then you find out, yeah, it did happen. Let me just take a look ahead because we've got this new Democrat majority that was that came with without Keith Pickard and 24 votes, we would have a supermajority in both houses of the legislature. What happens? What should Republicans just assume the role of potted plant, or can they have a viable role in what's going forward after this new legislature is sworn in?
Well, no, there's a smart way of doing this, and unfortunately, I have absolutely zero faith in the Republican leadership in the legislature to do the smart thing. What they should do is forget about being the minority party. Just accept the fact that the Democrats have the votes to pass whatever they want, and they have a Democrat governor in the governor's office who will sign just about anything they pass. So what Republicans in the legislature this year need to do is to create issues that they can run on in 2 years, in the 2020 election. And the way to do that is to make sure that if it's a bad bill that you want to possibly use in the elections 2 years from now, is not to give them votes. Remember, Obamacare passed without a single Republican vote, and then Republicans were able to use that issue in subsequent elections. Since you can't do anything to stop it, then you need to do something to put yourself in a position to win 2 years from now. So hopefully, you know, they'll wise up, and if even one Republican crosses the aisle and votes for a bad Democrat bill, the Democrats then, 2 years later, get to run on the fact that this really bad bill was, quote, bipartisan. And that's just the way the game is played, whether Republicans like it or not. They continue to go up there and say, well, you know what, we'll go ahead and give them this massive tax increase if they'll give me a bill raising, let's say, the minimum age where you're required to, or lowering the minimum age where you're required to wear a life vest on the lake from 13 to 12. You know, something stupid like that. And then they'll give them this vote for a tax hike and destroy the ability of Republicans to use that issue 2 years later. It's just dumb, but they do it every single legislative session.
Hey, Chuck, always good. If folks want to reach out, if they want to catch up on your Muth Truths, how do they go about doing it?
Yeah, they're all archived at moothstruths.com. That's MUTHSTRUTHS, moothstruths.com. Or if you have a hard time remembering that, just go to NevadaNewsAndViews.com, and you can sign up for the same newsletter right there.
Chuck, I love you. Thanks. Good to have you back, and good to be back. This is Live and Local now.
You know, it's just your mood and stride.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
All across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too, it's Live and Local now. Don't forget, all in-studio guests on Live and Local Now receive a bottle of Real Water. You know, with Real Water, you can hydrate like never before. How do they do it? Well, since Real Water is alkaline with an 8.0 pH and negative ionized, it can help your body to restore balance and reach your full potential. Real Water, it's available right now at Terrible Herbs gas stations all across the state of Nevada and in participating Valley Meat Markets in Indio for the everyday low price of just two for $3. That's right, $2 for $3. You want to save even more money? Try Real Water Home Delivery. I'm a client, so is Wayne Allen Root. You want to save money? And they bring it right to your front door? Go right now to realwaterhomedelivery.com. That's Real Water HomeDelivery.com. How smart is the American public? Okay, let me put it another way. How dumb is America? For instance, when you see Jesse Waters go out on the street and talk with stupid millennials, and they don't even know who the vice president is. By the way, I went to see Vice yesterday afternoon, and I must tell you, I really liked it. I knew that it was diametrically 180 degrees opposite my view of the world, especially during that period of time. But it was interesting. It was fun. It was funny, and I went and I saw it. It's pretty good. But how dumb are Americans about, let's just pick a topic, world history. Did you see the, just in the last couple of days, a poll released of Americans, 41% of Americans in this recent polling don't know what Auschwitz was. Just no clue. And that's in the 60 percentile when you talk about millennials and what they know about Auschwitz. And again, what they're learning about Auschwitz is, when 60% of millennials don't know, then we've got a problem, because those are our future leaders. Alan Dershowitz, former Harvard law professor, was on Fox and Friends the other day, and he was not surprised at all that 41% of Americans overall have no clue what Auschwitz was.
It's remarkable how little history people know and how little they're prepared to learn about something as tragic as that. And the result is these false analogies all over the place. Everybody's compared to Hitler. Everybody's compared to the Holocaust. Israel defending itself against Gaza rockets. Oh, they're Nazis. You know, anybody who compares Trump or anybody else to Hitler essentially is a Holocaust denier. Because what they're saying, well, there were no gas chambers, there was no Auschwitz, there was no plan to kill.
They minimize it by
Jews.
Default.
By default, by comparing it, they minimize it. 1 million children, babies and children, were killed. People were brought in from all over the world. They were brought in from the Isle of Rhodes on boats to Auschwitz to kill them. It wasn't enough to kill the people who were in the way. They had to bring them in because the goal was a massive genocide of everybody who had any kind of Jewish blood. To say that anything that happened since then is comparable to the Holocaust, and certainly to compare the American political system to anything that happened in the Holocaust is just outrageous.
Well, the American taxpayer invests a lot of money in public education. Where is this going on? What's happening? Who do you think is to blame for this kind of cultural ignorance, historical ignorance?
Well, first of all, there are all kinds of programs that people are promoting to teach the Holocaust in schools. Not only to teach the Holocaust, but to teach the Holocaust and other forms of horrible experiences that people had. That should be encouraged. That should be encouraged in schools all over the country. Look, the Friends School in New York. Here, the Friends School in New York invited a Holocaust denier to come and play his saxophone or whatever he was playing. We see it happening all over. Holocaust denial is minimized today. Analogies that people draw is the cruelest form of minimization of the Holocaust.
You know what this is about? This is just another extension of something we've talked about, you and I have talked about, over the years, and how our education system is not just minimizing the Holocaust, but American history in general. Civics in general. Ask your local high school student how a law is enacted. And they'll just give you a shrug of the shoulders. I don't know what we're doing in our schools, but I can tell you this. Civics 101, it's a washout. I mean, it is. And I know that we've got members of the faculty from schools all across our listening area. Are we doing enough to teach our young people a simple civics lesson? Could most of our high school students pass a simple citizenship test? Okay, let's take it a step further. People that are products of our school system, could they pass a simple citizens test? Citizenship? You know, what the people that come over legally and through legal immigration, could they pass a test, the same test that these immigrants have to pass to become a citizen? The polling seems to indicate, and I've seen studies where most Americans probably could not pass a citizenship test. And that's a little scary. Now, those of us that do this for a living, you know, we talk about our government and how a law is made, how it's enacted. We take this stuff pretty seriously. But most of the nation does not. Now, let me just ask you a question. Because I happen to believe an informed citizenry is essential to our democracy. And the fact is, a lot of us don't know much about how our government works. We just don't. It's not very sexy. You know? You don't see Brad Pitt talking about it unless they're trashing the government. No, you just don't see it. I'm going to open up our phone lines. And this whole notion that most Americans, the vast majority of Americans, probably could not pass a simple civics 101 test. When I go out registering people to vote, and over the years I've done a lot of that. We've done it at our rallies. We've done it at our debate watch parties. And you invariably ask people, well, who is your member of Congress? Name me one of our six U.S. senators. Oh, you didn't catch that? We only have two in our state. No, in fact, everybody's got two. No. I was just, that was a joke. I'm going to open up our phone lines. I know it's been a while since we've gotten together. We'll give you the opportunity. 844, the number 2, Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. I want to hear from you. Are you as concerned as I am that we're in a situation where 41% of Americans in a recent survey don't know what Auschwitz was and how it was part of 6 million people being annihilated, of being killed by Nazi Germany? That to me is scary. Because this 41% that don't know what that knows what Auschwitz was. I just want to make sure I'm clear on this. 41% don't know. Those same people go to the polls, and they vote for president, and they vote for U.S. senator, and they vote for congressman. I'm just telling you, it's scary to me what people don't know. We'll get to your calls coming up on the other side. 844, the number 2, Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. I'm Kevin Wall. The program, live and local, now.
For many, open enrollment 2019 closed on December 15th. Not if you're self-employed or an independent contractor. You have plenty of time to enroll. In fact, you can enroll up until February 28th for a March 1st effective date. Anyone who's paid on a 1099, has had a Nevada business license for at least 6 months, or is a member of the Real Estate Association, GLVAR, has the opportunity to enroll into better coverage for lower premiums. For more information, call Patrick Casal of the MultiCare Group, 702-396-9449. That's 702-396-9449. The opportunity to buy better plans is now a reality. Lower deductibles, better premiums with national access networks is now an option. Call me, Patrick Casal, at the MultiCare Group today, 702-396-9449. That's 702-396-9449. And find out the options do exist. For more information, check out my website, The MultiCare Group. That's themulticaregroup.com.
It keeps getting better and better at Rhythm Kitchen Seafood and Steaks. Hey, Kevin Wall here. The fun begins every afternoon, 4 till 6:30, with the best happy hour in the Vegas Valley. Mondays are extra special at Rhythm Kitchen. Enjoy happy hour all night long. And on Mondays, you get 50% off every bottle of wine under $100. Every day, Rhythm Kitchen features New Orleans-style seafood specialties. Crawfish etouffee, beignets, jambalaya. Like I said, it just keeps getting better and better. Rhythm Kitchen also features a banquet facility. So book your corporate events, birthday, anniversary, holiday parties, or any other celebration. Call Chris at 702-767-8438. That's 702-767-8438. Great food, incredible five-star service. I just love it. Open every day at 4, serving prime steaks and seafood. Rhythm Kitchen, located on South Decatur, just off the 215.
In Mexico, there was a phrase we used to say after enjoying a wonderful meal. Fabuloso. That's what best describes the authentic Mexican dishes prepared at Roberto's. Choose from over 100 family recipes. You see, Roberto's uses only the finest and freshest ingredients available. Roberto's Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like. Ah, it's going to be a glorious day.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Light your liberty. Starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple. And no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To find out how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and I ran for governor in 2018. As the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. And I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. For this Christmas, Las Vegas Cyclery has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid mountain bikes, and gift cards. We also have a wide variety of the latest e-bikes, which allows anyone to ride a bike, especially for those who want to ride a bike again but have some limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. And for those of you who are interested in a more extended outdoor experience, visit EscapeAdventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. EscapeAdventures.com.
Seven Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
All across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too. It's live and local now. In fact, let's go to your phone calls. And how appropriate that on our first day back from holiday vacation, Christmas and New Year's, we are joined by Frank. Frank, you're up and you're on live and local now. Good morning, sir. Happy New Year.
Well, I'd like to believe it is a Happy New Year, but I know bad things are coming, and it's not no part of our president. It's everything the demon rats can do to obstruct and I can't believe what's happening.
Hey, Frank, Frank, wait a minute. Sit back, relax. Nothing bad is going to happen. But by the same token, nothing good is going to happen. All of the good that was accomplished in the first 2 years of the Trump presidency, we're going to have to live off that for a while. Because you know the Democrats aren't going to allow anything good. A middle-class tax cut, 2.0, it's not going to happen. The Democrats aren't going to allow that to happen. None of the good stuff's going to happen. I'm sorry, short of a Supreme Court vacancy.
Well, you're correct. The demon rats are exactly, they're anti-American. And you've got some other, and guys with much higher Ph. degrees confirming. It's like, how can you vote for this? This is anti-American. And it's just killing me, Kevin. Anyway, take care, buddy.
Thank you. I appreciate the call. That's kind of a somber note to begin on. But no, I mean, what he's saying is true. But remember, we've got the Senate. Nobody is going to be convicted and removed from office unless there is some incredible smoking gun that we don't know about, some Perry Mason moment. No, it's what I'm advising people to do is to sit back and relax and enjoy the theater. It's not going to be bad, but it's not going to be good either. You're going to have to sit through a lot of these stupid hearings, and Democrats, you know, wagging their finger at all of us. But I don't think this is unlike when they jammed Obamacare through and there was nothing we could do. This is going to be different than that. It's not going to be very productive for America. It's going to be a waste of 2 years. But until we take the House back, nothing is going to happen. Nothing. Now, that doesn't mean they won't be all blustery and all, you know, Trump did this and Trump did that and collusion with the Russians. But they won't be able to prove any of it. And even if they vote for articles of impeachment in the House, it's going to go nowhere. It's not going to go to the Senate's not going to. Senate's not going to deal with this. Now even today, I don't know if you saw this. Let's go to cut three. The president, because he had nothing better to do, he was alone in the White House. I mean, even the people that book the president and the vice president on shows like this, they sent an email out to us when we inquired about people we could have on from the White House. That the booker, the person who books guests on shows like this, she's been laid off. Because of the government shutdown. Now, will something get done on this government shutdown thing? Sure. But when you can't even get the people to come back to the bargaining table, New Year's Eve. You remember New Year's Eve, Pete Hegseth was on with the President of the United States. And that New Year's Eve plea for Democrats to come back to open the government. You remember that?
You stayed in Washington, D.C. through Christmas, through New Year's. We've seen Nancy Pelosi in Hawaii. Democrats not willing to come back. A lot of your supporters, to be honest, Mr. President, are hoping that you will stand firm on that $5 billion mark or something big for the wall. Are you willing to continue the shutdown if that money does not come?
Well, we are. We have no choice. We have to have border security, and a wall is part of border security. You know, I hear so much about the wall is old-fashioned. No, the wall is not old-fashioned. The wall is 100% foolproof. You look at a wheel. Well, I guess they'd say the wheel is old-fashioned, but it's been around for a long time. The wall is the only way to do it. And technology, nobody knows more about technology than me, but technology are just the bells and whistles on the wall. If you don't have the wall, you're going to have people coming in. And my Border Patrol people, they do a fantastic job. But, you know, they need the backup of the wall, and they're the ones that want it more than anybody, Pete.
By the way, I checked last night. You know that, speaking of the border wall, you know how much money they have already raised for that GoFundMe? And I'll double-check this during the news at the top of the hour. But they've raised over $18 million. Do you remember the first day that we checked it? And it was one of the last days before the Christmas break? and they had raised something like $4.6 million. They have now raised it might be up to $19 million today, but as of last night, $18 million. 305,000 individuals raised over almost $19 million. Now, will they be able to get to $5 billion? I guess with time they will. I think it's great that Americans are raising this money. I don't care where the money comes from. The Democrats are all ensconced he promised that Mexico would pay for it. I don't care who pays for it. I really don't care. All I care about is that it get built. And if it takes $5 billion or $20 billion, I mean, I think where we're ultimately going to take this money from is the money that we save once we build the wall. That what we do, we borrow the money for the wall, maybe from the American people, and then they get paid back out of savings, what we're not having to spend for border security along our southern border because we have a wall. And because many people will stop trying to come over that wall, whether it's silver, whether it's steel slats, or it's a cement wall, doesn't matter. The big deal is that we need to get the wall built. Are we all in agreement on that? And when we come back, does it really matter? Who pays for the wall? Does it matter to you? We're going to find out. By the way, I want to thank Megan Barth and Pat Casal for filling in. And for Jameson, who was here through it all. Yeah, believe it or not. Stick around. More to do. 844, the number 2, Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. I'm Kevin Wall. The program, live and local, now. Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and 5 daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super-serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.